Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, new customers, you can sign up using promo code DNVR. Then you place a $5 bet. When it wins, guess what? You get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's with code DNVR and with DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today, all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, in spring training, with his special City Connect Serpientes backdrop, it's Jesse Friedman from PHNX Diamondbacks. What's up, Jesse?
I don't know how I feel about that, Patrick. I don't know how I feel about that intro.
I feel like that's good. We're tying it in, right? You've got, it's a City Connect backdrop, no? Right? That's the color.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. This room is a sort of an odd greenish color. So I don't know if it's quite the Serpiente sand that we've got going on, but you know, I suppose they're not too different from each other.
Yeah, maybe the camera is distorting it a little bit. Maybe we're learning that I'm colorblind. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I'm glad you joined me today because, you know, it's baseball season, it's still spring training, but there's so much to talk about. Obviously, everything that the Diamondbacks are doing right now with their big extension with Corbin Carroll. We'll get into that, some World Baseball Classic business, general NL West stuff. But of course, as a Rockies podcast, we do got to talk about the Colorado Rockies, who won a game last night. One of their rare night games. They have a night game on Tuesday night. They play a night game again here tonight on Wednesday against the Dodgers. They do it again on next Monday and Tuesday. But Germán Márquez looked really solid. We know he had a delay to the start of his spring training with the hamstring issue. But four innings pitched, only ended up giving up two hits, no walks, seven strikeouts. This bodes really well for him to be able to start the season on time and be an integral part of this rotation. Wouldn't you agree, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, spring training results are all that matter, Patrick. I think they arguably matter more than the regular season. So, you know, if you're doing well now, then I mean, the regular season's just going to be a cakewalk at that point. So,
I think so. Well, the Cubs, you know, the Cubs had a like a regular lineup there. Like if sure. You go with what the projections say, that was their A lineup. Maybe Tucker Barnhart there in as catcher instead of Yan Gomes, but two strikeouts against Nico Horner for Germán Márquez, two against Swanson, Bellinger, Patrick Wisdom, Eric Hosmer, which is weird to say that he's a Chicago Cub now. He's played for every team at this point in his career. but yeah, no, Márquez looked good. I still don't know if he'll get added. Maybe if Venezuela has already moved on to the quarterfinals, so they're going to be there. Will they add Márquez? I think the Rockies would probably tend to prefer, you know, for him to stay back with the Rockies, but he should be starting his season on time, which is really positive. Out of the bullpen, Peter Lambert went two scoreless, Brad Hand a scoreless inning, and Denelson Lamet another scoreless outing for him. He is a guy that I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be free agents at the end of this year. I think Denelson Lamet could maybe even get the biggest return in a trade at the deadline. For you, Jesse, is Denelson Lamet kind of those, you know, relievers on a one-year deal? Pierce Johnson is another one of those. You've got, you know, guys like Randall Grichuk, CJ Krohn are in their final year before free agency. Do you think a guy like Denelson Lamet, a big back end of the bullpen arm, could be someone that could get, you know, the most in return if you were to deal him at the trade deadline?
I remember Denelson Lamet with the Padres, I want to say 3 years ago. I think it was 2020, the pandemic year, when Denelson Lamet was, oh my gosh, this guy had insane stuff. And I haven't seen him pitch in spring training. I'm curious what your thoughts are on, you know, how the stuff looks, whether it is at all indicative of the pitcher that maybe he was a couple of years ago. But if Denelson Lamet is anywhere close to that guy, and is able to stay healthy, that's always the big question with him. I've seen him have as good a stuff as really anyone in baseball. And unfortunately, I know that his career as a starter didn't quite pan out. I doubt the Rockies are really trying to do that at this point. But if you can just use him as a one inning reliever, you know, with 99 and that slider or whatever it looks like right now, I think a lot of teams would be interested in that at the trade deadline.
Yeah, he looked really strong last year once they picked him up off of waivers from the Brewers, and you know was really, really good out of the bullpen last year. I think his last outing against the Dodgers, you know, he got hit around for a couple of runs, so that might have distorted his overall ERA on the season or his time with the Rockies. But he's a guy where from what I've seen in spring training and what he was able to show last year, once he finally got healthy, because that was one of the reasons why the Rockies picked him up, because they said, hey, wait a minute, this year, we'll see what we get in 2022. But in 2023 is really what we're banking on. And he's a guy that potentially even, you know, have future closer kind of written all over him. So he'll be interesting to see on the offensive side. Ryan McMahon, Elhiris Montero, both hit their third home run in the spring. McMahon does it against a guy who, you know, had a really good season last year in Cubs left-handed starter Justin Steele. And Montero right now in general is making his case to be the team's starting third baseman. He's 10 for 34 this spring, so just under .300 batting average. He's got a double, 3 homers, 5 walks to only 6 strikeouts. So you like that he's putting the ball in play. He's making that hard kind of contact. I'm curious what your take was, Jesse, in hearing that, okay, Rodgers goes down. That's really bad. But then you sign Mike Moustakas, you move Ryan McMahon over to second base, and you say, you're not going to be playing this Elhiris Montero kid, Nolan Jones, maybe, you know, he's still a young prospect. Does this kind of shout a classic Rockies type move, or are you okay, you know, bringing in a veteran and kind of giving the younger player kind of a slower start and a slower progression, before he takes over the role, kind of, you know, setting him up maybe for more success, rather than just throwing him right out there as the starting third baseman? Is that a classic Rockies move, or are you just thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe there's still something left in the tank for Moustakas.
I think the Rockies are definitely in a stage right now where you want to see the kids play, right? I don't think, you know, somehow Rockies fans seem to show up no matter how good or bad the team is, which I know a lot of Diamondbacks fans are very jealous of that, because that is not the case here in Arizona. But I do think there's something to be said for giving those young players kind of a runway to a role that will really suit them well. It's one thing to let the kids play, but it's another thing to kind of force the kids to play before they're really ready for those opportunities. I think you can actually do some damage to the progression of some of those young guys if you kind of force them in there too early. We saw that maybe a little bit last year with Geraldo Perdomo, Diamondback shortstop prospect who's still only 23 years old. Nick Ahmed goes down, you know, with a shoulder injury near the beginning of the year. And suddenly Perdomo is your full-time everyday shortstop. And I think by the end of the season, he had a lower OPS than anyone in baseball with 500 or more plate appearances. I think by the end of the year, you know, he'd certainly made some adjustments. He'd certainly learned some things along the way. But it was pretty clear to D-backs fans, like, yeah, Perdomo wasn't really ready for that just yet. It would have been nice if the Diamondbacks maybe had another depth option who could have stepped in and maybe allowed Perdomo to get some of those reps in AAA. So I don't really have a problem bringing in Moustakas. I don't know how good Mike Moustakas is at this point, realistically, or how much faith should be put in him. I guess there's a reason that he was still out there for the taking at this point. But I think it's still good. I mean, veterans certainly bring value just in that they have the experience, and, you know, it's at least a placeholder for hopefully better things to come.
Yeah, it's a tale of caution, kind of, as you're saying with Perdomo, you know, careful what you wish for a little bit. James in the chat, of course, over on the YouTube channel, DNVR Sports, basically breaking it down by saying, you know, the Rockies haven't made enough offseason moves right now to earn any love. And to Jesse's point, you know, maybe you don't want to make a lot of those moves because you're blocking some of those young players. And if you do want to bring in a veteran player, a superstar guy that you want to pay. I mean, that was the whole story with Brandon Nimmo is, you know, don't bring him in and then have to pay him $25 million a year, because right now it's not going to matter. And next year it may not really matter. But if you can still get a veteran presence, you know, on the cheap, like a Brad Hand, Mike Moustakas, you know, even a guy like a Cole Tucker, if you will, then, you know, that's going to allow for an easier transition for a lot of those young guys. And now you haven't invested that same kind of money. So it can be a delicate balance for the most part. Wednesday's game, tonight's game, as I mentioned, against the Dodgers, Austin Gomber versus Clayton Kershaw. Nice little lefty matchup. That game will be on AT&T Sportsnet. I bring that up because opening day in San Diego for the Rockies will be on AT&T Sportsnet, according to Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post. He got that information, you know, through a source. How much longer, you know, beyond that, will you be able to watch the Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet or Root Sports, as it may even be reverting back to? It's not clear. MLB plans on taking over these broadcasts in the future, but they're still kind of unable to do so right now. Jesse, I know the Diamondbacks are dealing with the same thing with Bally Sports. What has been your kind of take on everything going down? Should fans really be concerned about everything going on with these RSNs, or will MLB really, you know, find a way to make sure that, you know, we're not going to have blackouts, we're not going to have games that no one's going to be able to watch? Like, it will get figured out sooner rather than later.
Well, according to a report from Sports Business Journal, I believe the Diamondbacks were the first team to actually lose money as a result of this situation. Diamond Sports Group basically missed a rights payment to the Diamondbacks before they missed a rights payment to any other team. So we don't know exactly what the financial ramifications are of that at this point. What we do know, according to another article, which I think was on the New York Post a couple of days ago, apparently they're using the word free. Patrick, when we talk about Major League Baseball taking over some of these broadcasts, that this article at least threw around the word free, as if fans, at least in market, would not have to pay to watch their teams. So from a fan perspective, I think this could actually be really great. I mean, I don't think anyone's complaining about that. We were talking about this on our show the other day. Maybe there are some Diamondbacks fans out there that, you know, cut the cord and haven't wanted to pony up for whatever streaming service it would take. And, you know, I've just kind of not been watching this baseball team, even if they've wanted to over the last few years. If Major League Baseball steps in and is able to get these games out there for free, I think it could in some ways galvanize the fan base and, you know, kind of get some of those people who have fallen off the viewership of this baseball team a little bit. Maybe some of those people come back and start watching again. From a larger financial standpoint, though, the Diamondbacks is an organization, like I said, they already have lost some money, and I think they're probably going to continue to lose money. It sounds like their TV deal with Diamond Sports Group heavily favored the team. At least that's what some reports have come out and said, that the money that Diamond was bringing in was not at all comparable to the amount of money they were paying the Diamondbacks every year. And I know the Diamondbacks aren't the only team in that situation. So there are some pretty big concerns here in the long term. The D-backs depend heavily on that revenue every year. But in the short term, it might be kind of a fun thing for fans where, hey, everybody loves a free baseball game that they can watch from home.
Yeah. And the MLB free app sounds a lot better than the MLB at-bat app. It's you'll take a freebie. Again, also in the DNVR Sports chat over on YouTube, someone was only able to watch one game because it was one that was for free on Fox. So
yeah,
Diamondbacks, Rockies are kind of in the same boat. Our games aren't necessarily going to be free. Nationally, people might not want to look at our teams right now. Your case might be a little bit different. That could be changing here in the next season or two, but MLB free would be nice. Also in that same report from the New York Post, all of the announcers and analysts will stick around right now under this
right. You
know, kind of current plan that they've got going on. And MLB even, you know, has a team, has three people that they've, you know, hired to kind of focus on that, which is interesting. There also was a quote from Rockies owner Dick Monfort, who's right in the middle of all this. He said, in speaking about what MLB wants to do with these RSNs and possibly provide games for free, our goal would be to make games available not only within the traditional cable bundle, but also on the digital side as well. So again, that's one of those things where if you haven't cut the cord, you can watch from home, but then as soon as you leave and you go somewhere else, that's it. You might not have a means to watch on your phone quite as much. Or if you're in one of those areas where there's multiple teams that are considered to be in your zone, right? Isn't there some place in Iowa where there's five teams overlap? So there's five different places that you can't necessarily watch a game. So it is definitely a difficult and untenable situation. You can watch all the Rockies games over at the DNVR bar. That's a fact. We know that.
There you go.
Corner of Colfax and York is where you're going to go for that. When you're a diehard, you get 15% off your beer and your drink, legitimately. For this thing here that you're getting, the podcast, the live show on YouTube, you're getting some exclusive content on the article side, video breakdown from everybody in all the major sports, CSU, CU Buffs, I mean, you name it, all around. You're getting all that coverage. And then also, when you come down to the DNVR bar, it's another 15% off your food and your drink. It's 20% off all the gear at dnvrlocker.com. And then 20% off the watch parties and the party buses that we've got going on. In fact, we got one on April 29th against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jesse, that my door is open to you. We haven't discussed this officially, but if you need a place to stay in Denver or Denver adjacent, I'm a Denver adjacent guy. Come stay with me. You can come out. I don't know if you can ride the party bus, but you can hang out with everybody at the stadium, be at the bar. You are very welcome for that on April 29th. That's going to be an exciting event, maybe one of the first exciting events since 2007, where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies have faced off against each other.
I will only come if I get to ride on the party bus, Patrick.
Can you drive? Do you have a,
CDL?
Yes, a CDL. That's what I was looking for.
I do not have my CDL at this point, but if that's what it takes to get on the party bus, Patrick, then I'm willing to put in some work here over the next month or so.
You're committed to that. I appreciate that. Well, of course, 2017 wildcard game was really the last time that the Rockies and Diamondbacks were exciting like that. You get access to the Diehards Only Discord. It's amazing. Make sure you head over to the dnvr.com. Get all that information. Head over to RotoWire. In fact, go to rotowire.com/DNVR, where they got a special deal where for 2 days, 48 hours, you get to look behind the paywall. You get access to everything, and you don't have to put a credit card down either. It's not one of those things where if you get caught sleeping, you're going to get charged for it. No, it's just 2 days free trial. It's amazing. Rotowire.com/DNVR. It's going to help you out with your fantasy baseball league. It's going to let you know about where to draft players at. What's the average draft position? They got fantasy draft kits, custom start, sit, add, drop, trade advice, lineup optimizers. It's amazing. They do it for not just MLB, but golf, soccer, NASCAR, even the XFL. If you're looking to do some of that, it's amazing. RotoWire has been pioneers in this for over 25 years. They're absolutely amazing. I've used them forever. They have a daily podcast as well. But go over to rotowire.com/DNVR. Sign up. 2 days unlimited access to dominate your fantasy league, or even to just learn a little bit more about what's going on in the game, because they'll tell you who the closer is, how secure is that job for that pitcher, as well as who the next guys that are going to be on the come up, fantasy stuff, all about top prospects, because being a top prospect is different than being a top fantasy prospect, because you don't get any credit for defense when it comes to fantasy baseball. Rotowire.com/DNVR and pinsandaces.com is where you need to go to get all kinds of wonderful golf gear. It's a Colorado company that we love to support. They love supporting us. It's family owned. They've got the beer sleeve / seltzer sleeve. So you load up about 7 of those bad boys, throw it in your golf bag. It looks like one of your clubs, and you're locked and loaded until you get to that 19th hole there at the end. You're going to be ready to go. It's an innovative product. I love that. Go to pinsandaces.com and use code DNVR to get 15% off your first order. You also get free shipping. That's with pinsandaces.com. Jesse, Corbin Carroll, he's a favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year this year. It always seems like whoever the NL Rookie of the Year favorite is, or the AL favorite, they never win it. Seiya Suzuki,
yeah,
like, you're still waiting for him to arrive last year, right? So maybe that's a curse, but there's even folks that have kind of mentioned Corbin Carroll in an MVP kind of capacity, right? Like, a lot would have to go right for him to really be in that conversation, but he's a guy who could get top 10 votes depending on how his season goes. He signs an 8-year extension, less than 50 days of service time, less than 50 games that he's played. First guy to get $100 million contract with that little amount of games played in service time. $111 million guaranteed. I know there's escalators that can bump it up, I think, to like $134 million. He's now 22 years old, but debuted last year as a 21-year-old. To let people know, like, why this is obviously a win for Corbin Carroll, because that's guaranteed money that he didn't have guaranteed to him a week or so ago. But why is this such a big deal for the Arizona Diamondbacks and their fan base?
The Diamondbacks have been a team for a number of years now that has sort of been unable to keep their stars around, or maybe unwilling is the more appropriate term. The Diamondbacks, of course, traded away Paul Goldschmidt back in 2019, a move that was not very popular with the fan base, needless to say. And I know the Rockies have made some similar decisions in recent years that maybe did not make fans so happy. And what was really interesting to me when Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen did his press conference and talked about this is he mentioned Paul Goldschmidt's name. He mentioned how he was aware that doing those kinds of things have an impact on the clubhouse when you trade away your star player when they are at their peak, as Paul Goldschmidt still really was when he left the Diamondbacks. Heck, the man just won an MVP last year with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was still at the top of his game, and the Diamondbacks, you know, made a difficult decision to trade him away. And I think this move is about the Diamondbacks being like, we don't want to go there again. We're willing to take a pretty crazy risk, which I do think this is. Maybe not a crazy risk, but it is a significant risk. I mean, $111 million to a guy who has 115 big league plate appearances, has played in 32 big league games, and you're guaranteeing him $111 million, and the two free agent years that are part of this contract are at $28 million apiece. $28 million a year is no joke, right? I mean, that is a significant amount of money. And depending on where Corbin Carroll finishes in MVP voting, I believe both of those can get up into the 30s. So it is a risk, but this is the Diamondbacks saying, we don't want to do what we did with Paul Goldschmidt. We don't want to be the team that's always losing out on you know, our star players. And they strongly believe that Corbin Carroll will be that guy. And I mean, this deal is through his age 30 season. It's not like it locks him up, you know, till he's 38 or something crazy like we've seen with some of these other deals, but it at least buys out a couple more years and then gives the D-backs a club option for 2031.
Yeah, it's the second largest deal they've ever given out, right? Grinke is the biggest one, like $206.5 million. And so, yeah, this now kind of sets that mark. Yeah. We're in extension season. We're kind of hoping that another NL Rookie of the Year award favorite, Ezekiel Tovar, could get the same kind of extension on the Rockies side. But yeah, Carroll, I mean, is just such an interesting player, a very exciting player. You know, as you said, it's maybe crazy isn't the word, but it's aggressive. And also shows like how much the Diamondbacks believe that they've got something really special in Corbin Carroll. And he's not the only guy either. Like, that's the thing. And I think we've talked about it before this offseason about so many of the young players that are ready, that are at the big league level right now, you know, for the Diamondbacks. How many of those guys were together kind of going through the ranks, or do they each kind of have their own timeline? Because the Rockies like their guys to stay together almost in bunches. They've had a lot of success the last couple of years in the lower levels of the minors, winning a lot of games and winning in their league, and kind of that's their system, as kind of building a team as a team versus building, you know, players individually who can come together for a team. The Rockies have looked to the Diamondbacks, or at least have acknowledged the fact that, hey, the D-backs are ahead of us kind of on the contention scale and or contending scale. Like they're going to be there. Their window is going to open before ours. And it could be a couple years for the Rockies to do that. But how did the Diamondbacks get that way? Was it more of the team staying as a team, or was it these individual guys just kind of going at their own pace?
Yeah, as far as the prospects go, like were they all kind of coming up as a unit? Yeah, I mean, the D-backs top three position player prospects that get kind of all of the love are Corbin Carroll, Jordan Lawler, and Drew Jones. And I don't believe that any of them have ever been at the same minor league level at the same time. They've been kind of all a year or two apart. Corbin Carroll was drafted back in 2019. Jordan Lawler was drafted in 2021. Those two, however, do actually have a very good relationship with each other and have spent a lot of time together because they both had shoulder surgery. And so they kind of walked through that recovery process together, spent a lot of time out at Salt River Fields in rehab and whatnot. So Lawler and Carroll have spent a lot of time together, I believe. During Lawler's injury, both of them were out at Chase Field, just watching some of the Diamondbacks games during the season, and sitting with scouts and trying to soak up as much knowledge as they possibly could while those injuries were happening. But yeah, the D-backs have just drafted really well, and I think they've gotten a little lucky too, if I'm being honest. 2019, Corbin Carroll was there for them at number 16 overall. That was pretty fortunate for them, and that's something that Mike Hazen talked about in the press conference. We were very lucky to get Corbin Carroll where we did, and I think the same goes for Jordan Lawler in 2021. He fell to number 6 overall. A lot of people had Lawler as the number one guy on their draft board that year. And then last year, Drew Jones, a lot of people viewed him as the best overall prospect in that draft. Diamondbacks able to snag him at number 2 overall. So the stars have kind of aligned, you know, right draft pick position at the right time sort of thing. And that's the reason that the Diamondbacks' future is as bright as it is right now.
Yeah, I want to say the pitchers have probably come along a little bit together. I know last year at Triple A, you know, Trey Jameson, Ryan Nelson, those guys have kind of been together. And I imagine on the pitching side, like that, those are the guys maybe that you want to be together, maybe more so than the hitters who, you know, can develop in a silo and kind of go level to level. Whereas the pitchers, you almost want them battling each other. Again, it goes back to what Atlanta had, where it was Smoltz, Glavin, and Greg Maddux, where, you know, each one is like, oh, you think that's good? Let's see what I can do. Anything you can do, I can do better. And so that's really nice to have on the pitching side, since they've got to wait every 5 days. It's not every day in the lineup you get a chance to maybe show something like the hitters are able to do, but the pitchers have that ability to do that. And in a not so, you know, pitcher friendly place like Reno. So the Rockies are very much, you know, further behind the Diamondbacks with their pitchers too, where, you know, right now, Double A is where some of those guys, Joe Rock, Case Williams, have kind of started to show up. Whereas the Diamondbacks, they're going to get that impact, you know, immediately. Where I think at least one of those young rookie pitchers should be in the rotation. You might want more. I know a lot of Diamondbacks fans probably want two or three of those young guys in the rotation as opposed to Bumgarner or Zach Davies. But to your point on what we were saying before, you want to set them up for success and you don't want to overexpose them and kind of maybe rattle their confidence earlier than they're actually ready for.
I think, yeah, I mean, a lot of Diamondbacks fans would say, you know, out with Madison Bumgarner, let's get two of these rookie guys in there. I think D-backs fans have sort of had enough. They've sort of had their fill of watching Madison Bumgarner pitch over the last few years. It hasn't been great, but you're right on the pitching side. A lot of these guys have kind of come up together almost the entire way. Last year, Dre Jameson and Ryan Nelson both made their big league debuts, both had sub 1.5 ERAs in a cup of coffee in the big leagues. It wasn't much, but it was something. It was noticeable. Those two guys spent, I believe Jameson was in AAA for about 90% of his season. And then Ryan Nelson was the Reno Aces opening day starter and was there the whole year until his call up. So those two guys were roommates at one point. They've spent a lot of time together. Tommy Henry, another guy who made his big league debut for the D-backs last year, also, you know, was in AAA with those two for the majority of the year. And then Brandon Pfaadt got a call up to AAA later in the season last year and joined them there. So all of those guys, all of these young starting pitchers that we're talking about, have kind of moved up the ranks together, at least at certain times. And there's a lot of excitement surrounding those four guys. I think D-backs, as I said, I think they've only got one spot in the opening day rotation. So maybe one of those guys gets moved to the bullpen, the other two get sent down. But that's another big part of the excitement that this fan base has going into 2023.
That's a good problem to have for sure. A problem that it seems like Chase Field has or Diamondbacks fans have is hot dogs. And there's a lot of excitement over that. What can you break down for anyone that doesn't know? Because I don't think we've talked about it on our side. But I know when I go down and jump on the PHNX D-back show or I was down there in spring training, Chase Field has for every team that comes in, there's like a new theme based around that city or that team. Are fans really that upset that they, when they go to the ballpark, there's a new hot dog item with a little bit of a flair on it? Like, is this really considered a bad thing amongst the D-backs faithful?
Yeah, it's called the versus dog. And yes, for every team that comes to Chase Field, they switch it up and they have a hot dog that's kind of themed after the city that road team is from. So I think there's been some concern from Diamondbacks fans that, like, we're kind of playing into this narrative that Chase Field is dominated by fans of the road team, which is a very real thing at times, right? When the Dodgers come here, when the Cardinals come here, some of those teams with really strong fan bases, the Cubs, there's a lot of the road colors, a lot of the road team colors in the stands at Chase Field. And so people are wondering, like, are you trying to make these people even more comfortable by, like, giving them their own personalized hot dog while they're there? So I understand the concern. I only had one of the versus dogs last year. I think I had the Pirates versus dog. It was honestly kind of mediocre. So I can't really talk too much about the actual items themselves and how good they tasted. Maybe there were some good ones, but I was not particularly impressed with the one that I had.
What was the Pirate's dog? I imagine maybe it has like some like roast beef and like some French fries on it. So it's almost like a Primanti Brothers sandwich.
It did have French fries. It had French fries and coleslaw. But I don't know. It just, the stuff didn't kind of like go together the way that you would expect it to. I very much felt like I was just eating a hot dog with a side of French fries and a side of coleslaw. And they were all kind of jumbled on top of each other in a way that I probably wouldn't have liked. So, I think some of the other ones were maybe a little bit better, but that one was, yeah, it wasn't much to it.
At Coors Field, we're used to getting other teams' fans and seeing a lot of different colors. One of the first games I remember covering back when the Astros started getting really good, and the Rockies were really good at the time, 17-18, you know, a lot of Astros fans in the ballpark, and Charlie Blackmon, you know, kind of quipped that, like, yeah, a lot of Broncos fans were in the house tonight because of all the orange. And, you know, Coors Field, we don't encourage the other fans, but we don't discourage them. And so I think there's a difference in that. And again, that definitely upsets Rockies fans, no doubt about it. But I could see how, you know, having those versus dogs definitely, you know, might encourage and cater to those kind of folks. Backus and Schenker is catering their service to you, because look, if you've been hurt, Backus and Schenker is going to help you out in a major way. They win for Colorado families. They've been doing it in Colorado for over 25 years. And the best part about it is their work is free until they win money in your case. So it's free to speak to them. It's even free for them to work on your case. They're doing all of that for free until they win money for you. And they've done that for Colorado families to the tune of over $1 million. Check them out at any of their neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, or Fort Collins. They've got 30 lawyers, 100 folks on staff. Backus and Schenker, they win. That's the bottom line. They can help you out with all kinds of accidents that weren't your fault. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks, you name it. They can even help if you've been injured at work. So give them a call at 222-2222 to find out if you have a case. That's all Troy Tulowitzki's. That's it. Just imagine Troy Tulowitzki's number seven times in a row, 222-2222. That's easy to remember, right, Jesse?
That's an incredible. That's an actual phone number?
It is, yes.
That's incredible.
303, you know, like, I guess there's something where you don't even have to type in the 303 area code. There's a couple other ones I think that they have, but all Tulos or Jonathan Daza. You might be more of the Jonathan Daza era if you want to think about that number two. But DraftKings is number one. So is baseball. It's baseball season. Football's dead. $5 bet when you use code DNVR. You place a $5 bet, and when it wins for you, because you know you're going to win that first time, you're going to have that kind of luck, that kind of good vibration and juice going for you. When that $5 bet wins, you get $200 in bonus bets instantly. You don't have to wait around for anything. Boom, right away, they're going to take care of you. They got other really wonderful things like NBA no sweat same game parlays, where even if you miss, they're going to help you out and kick a little something back your way. You can bet on the preseason games here in MLB and spring training. You've got that. You've got league winners, division winners, end of year award winners. I don't know, Jesse, how much you've gotten into this with Derek. You can bet on head-to-head teams, like who's going to win more games. You might even give a couple wins to one team over another. They also have head-to-head home runs. Kyle Tucker or Shohei Ohtani? That's a matchup. Who do you think is going to hit more home runs this year, Kyle Tucker or Shohei Ohtani? Who would you pick in that one?
Man, I don't know. I don't remember how many exactly Kyle Tucker had last year. I would probably
30 the last 2 years, and Ohtani had 34 last year.
Okay. I would probably lean Shohei Ohtani. You know, you got the walk year.
Yeah. 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 Like Shohei Ohtani needs to perform. He's like, hey guys, I'm going on to the free agent market. I really need to make sure I have a big year. He could be awful this year. And yeah, I don't think that's going to impact his number, but you're right. That's true. Yeah. No, that was my pick of the week, was Ohtani. Kyle Tucker is actually like, he's the favorite. They're shorter odds for Kyle Tucker right now. So DraftKings, they're taunting us out there with these bets. So you got to head over there to check it out. Use code DNVR, place a $5 bet. You win $200 in bonus bets instantly, only at DraftKings Sportsbook and only with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Jesse, have you been going to some of the WBC games? I've seen some photographs from the PHNX Diamondbacks account on Twitter.
I went to the Team Mexico, Team USA game.
Haven't been. So you're the reason. You're the reason why. You're the jinx.
There you go. That would be me. I think I might go tonight to Team USA versus Team Colombia. One Merrill Kelly will be on the mound getting the start for Team USA in that one. Pretty big game for Team USA, a game they're certainly expected to win, but probably one of the bigger games that Merrill Kelly has ever pitched in his young career.
Yeah, he is the only starter right now, I believe, on that roster that hasn't thrown yet. So he's saved for this game. Big spot, must win. Team USA wins. They are in. If they lose, they go to 2-2, and there's all kinds of a tie. Actually, I think if they lose, there's a good chance that they won't win the tiebreaker. The weird thing is, so I had to actually make, this is a joke, and you can laugh at me. It's fine. Or it's going to sound like a joke. I had to make a spreadsheet up last night because I needed to know about the tiebreakers. Because if you remember, I think it was Group A, they had a five-way tie, right? Italy, Cuba, all these teams. And the tiebreaker was runs allowed divided by outs, not even innings, but outs, right? Because if you have a walk-off, that's not a complete inning. So it's basically trying to almost find out your ERA, so to speak, right? Well, nowhere on MLB.com. MLB.com is not doing a wonderful job. They're doing a very good job, like advertising World Baseball Classic, because there's no, like, nowhere on the top bar where you just click and it switches you over to World Baseball Classic. I haven't found that. I have to do a specific MLB World Baseball Classic search to get to that page, but they show you the standings. What they don't show you is that tiebreaker of, you know, obviously head to head is a tiebreaker. But with how everything, you know, lays out for a 2-2 layout, I think there's even a chance you could have three teams with 3-1 record, right? If Mexico beats Canada, there's three teams that are 3-1. But this is one of the reasons why I had to make the spreadsheet, because I need to see what their runs allowed divided by outs, and Canada, because of that big drubbing by U.S., I think unless Colombia defeats USA by a big score, USA is going to have a lower number than that. And so USA would move on past Canada. But again, to your point, USA needs to win. Merrill Kelly needs to pitch well. Kyle Freeland could be available. He only threw 29 pitches on Saturday, so he only had 3 days rest, but he could be back in there. I've got an article over there on the DNVR.com available for you to take a look at, where Freeland, you know, talks about being reunited with Nolan Arenado and, you know, Mark DeRosa, the manager, and GM Tony Regan's kind of discussing why they wanted Kyle Freeland on Team USA. He could also be pivotal tonight in the start. So I hope you're there, and I hope you bring some good luck this time.
Yeah, I will do that, Patrick. I will do that. I will say it's worth pointing out that Team USA, Team Mexico game on Sunday night was about as loud as I have ever heard Chase Field, maybe outside of, I wasn't at the Diamondbacks Rockies wildcard game in 2017. I've heard that place was pretty insane. But man, those Team Mexico fans, Patrick, they showed up. They showed up at Chase Field, and they had their noisemakers. They were singing Mexican folk songs in the stands. It was unlike anything that I've really seen in that ballpark. Chase Field, we're not used to seeing, you know, 47,000 on a Sunday night. You know, for two teams that on paper, it was fairly lopsided, right? I mean, Team USA comes out there with Mike Trout, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado, all in the middle of the lineup. And it was crazy. Like, they were going up there against some of these Mexico pitchers who hadn't thrown an inning above a ball, you know, and they just couldn't do it. I think Mookie Betts was 0-for-5 in that game. I know Team Mexico had some, you know, some actual major league starters that worked that day as well. But that day in particular was very memorable. One of the most fun atmospheres at Chase Field that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that is awesome. I went to a Gold Cup game 15 years ago at this point at Giant Stadium. So soccer fans, you know, even more so than baseball fans. But yeah, Mexico whooped on Team USA. And it was, I just sat back and just watched the atmosphere more than the game by that point.
Yeah.
Because USA was done. So that's cool that you were able to be there and see that and take part in a wonderful international tournament. There's still a lot of good baseball left. And I think USA is going to win tonight. Shouldn't be too much of an issue with Colombia, who also you know, doesn't have too many, you know, big league pitchers on their roster. Speaking of international news, wanted to touch on it real quick. This broke, I think, on Monday. Trevor Bauer signing a deal with Japan. Speaking of Japan and Taiwan here in the chat on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube. But he signs a $4 million deal with the Yokohama Dina Bay Stars. Do you think he's still getting paid like $22 million by the Dodgers right now? He does have an opt-out in his deal with Yokohama, where if a major league team wants to sign him, you know, he can just opt out and then go over there. But do you think we'll see Trevor Bauer in the major leagues this year, or probably more importantly, in the next 5 years or ever again?
I'm hesitant to think that any major league team would ever bring on Trevor Bauer at this point. I know that, you know, maybe with some guys who have been through situations sort of like this, once some time passes, you know, in this case, the distance of being all the way in Japan for a while, maybe eventually people, you know, maybe Trevor Bauer shows some things that his character is improved in some way. I'm not sure exactly how he would do that, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what big league front office is going to look at his situation and feel that it's something that they could take on just from a PR standpoint. Like, you are just putting yourself in the middle of just so much scrutiny if you bring in Trevor Bauer. And I don't know, I'm hesitant. Like, in a year, is it any different? In 2 years, is it any different? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Certainly not surprised that opt-out is built into his deal with that Japanese team, just in case. I know he wants to keep that door open, but I don't know about you, Patrick. I don't think I see that door opening anytime soon.
Yeah, the odds are definitely against it, probably even against 5 years from now. But I would never say never, only because, again, you're right. How does he prove that he's kind of a different person or changed? But, you know, time can do that and help people forget. I think I could see, you know, because Trevor Bauer doesn't want to go away. He's still putting out content. I know I'm not watching it, but sometimes it'll kind of come across the screen like, oh, that's right, he's still doing videos and, you know, trying to do some fun different things for his channel. But I could see him going over to Japan and saying, okay, I really need to embrace this and embrace Japanese culture too. And I need to be here for, I'm going to say, 3 years. So I need to go all in and create some interesting content, which, again, are people going to want to watch it? I don't know. But in 3 years' time, you know, we could be in a different world, or 5 years' time, we're in a different place where there's a team that would take a risk on that. We're not in a different place where that's suddenly acceptable, his behavior. No, but we're in a place in which somebody can say, you know what, that, you know, flaming hot coal that nobody wanted to touch has definitely seemed to have cooled down. And, you know, we're trying to win something, and, you know, teams do crazy things to try to win. We know that. And we'll sign players if they can help and they can contribute. So I think it definitely would have to take at least, you know, 5 years for something like that to happen. Still, the odds are against it, but I mean, in 5 years' time, who knows what the world holds? We certainly never thought that we'd be dealing with a pandemic. And we're saying this now almost 3 years to when it really started all going down. So I think it was March 13th. Was the last day that there was any games. I don't know if you remember that from that Friday. I think Seattle had a game at 1 o'clock. They played it, and I think all the other teams had canceled the games, and they still ended up going through with it, but we could have never possibly expected that. So
yeah.
Bauer back in MLB in 5 years, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. We have seen major league teams show a willingness to kind of like not shut the door on certain guys, right? And I mean, there's a lot of players with a lot of different situations. They're certainly not the same, but, you know, guys like Aroldis Chapman or Marcell Ozuna, or, you know, these guys have still played despite, you know, situations that were not the same as Trevor Bauer's. But I think teams are open to that. So it's one of those things where right now it seems unthinkable because it's still so fresh and it's still so recent. But yeah, I mean, I could be eating my words a year from now when some team is like, yeah, Trevor Bauer looks like he's changed. Like, he looks like a different guy now. And if you can kind of convince yourself of that, and you can, more importantly, convince your fan base of that, maybe, you know, maybe there isn't as much scrutiny there, and you can kind of get by with Trevor Bauer being like this different person than he's been in the past.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild to think about. Well, it's time. We'll just kind of have to sit back and wait. I want to ask you here before we get out of here. Do you think there's a chance that every team in the NL West, other than the Colorado Rockies, wins 80-81 games and is at 500? Would you take that bet? Would you say yes? I think every team will have, we'll say 80. So not even 81 where it's 500. So you're gonna be two games under 500 if you win 80 games. Would you take that? Do you think four teams are going to win 80 games in the NL West? Or would you say, no, I think one of those four teams, either maybe the Giants or D-backs, will be under 80 wins this year. Where would you fall on that question?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think I would take the bet. I'd be really tempted to take the bet. I don't think I would. I feel like there is a very possible, potentially likely in my mind scenario in which one of the Diamondbacks and Giants wins 80 games. I'm not necessarily saying which team that would be. I think more likely the Giants than the Diamondbacks, frankly. But it's tough. I mean, in one division for four teams to finish with 80 wins, that's something that you just don't see very often. I know there's less, interdivision play now. So I think that maybe ups the likelihood of that situation a little bit. But I don't know. That's just something that is so weird that I don't think I'd bet on it. But I mean, on paper, like, yeah, I kind of do think the Giants will win 80 or more games. I kind of do think the D-backs, to maybe a slightly lesser extent, will win 80 or more games. But like both of those things happening, maybe it's a little less than 50%. But I'm right there, Patrick. I'm very, very close.
Excellent. All right. We'll work on that this offseason. Mac pointing out too in the comments, St. Louis Cardinals, their game, I mean, fans were in the stands. They were ready and they canceled it. Boom. Right there. Todd pointing out with the Monfords going out and spending on Chris Bryant. If you're talking about, strong off seasons, it could be a couple more years until, the Rockies make a big splash in free agency. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. The Diamondbacks were quiet this offseason. Smaller moves, but again, they're getting their young guys ready to get going. We could see them move next year because keep an eye on the Diamondbacks. Whatever they do, the Rockies should be close behind. Jesse, go ahead and plug away where folks can find all your content at.
Yeah, we have Talkin' Jake on the show this evening over on the PHNX D-backs podcast. So Talkin' Jake from John Boy, joining us at 5 p.m. Arizona time, so 6 p.m. if you're out in Colorado. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter at @PHNX_DBacks. You can find me at Jesse N. Friedman. And then, of course, our YouTube channel, PHNX Sports. That's where all the magic happens. So if you want to come hang out with us and with Talkin' Jake tonight, we'll be there at 6 p.m. Colorado time.
I recommend it. Jake Storielli, one of the best in the game from John Boy Media. We're on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. @PatrickDLyons is where I'm at on Twitter. And Jesse, this has been wonderful. But as a baseball person and a podcaster, you should know that momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So, of course, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube at 11 a.m.